Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight?
Blessed and highly favored.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Put your hands to heaven. Why don't you repeat after me? I have been sent, from God. Into this realm, on a military mission, not a worldly mission, not a religious mission. I am a soldier of the Most High God, sent into this world to fulfill a mission, a military mission, and I will succeed because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, to give him glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven again and get a drink. Yeah, Phyllis, kill us, and Phyllis. Phyllis, kill us, and resurrect us, in Jesus' name. Glory. Turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Glory. Ephesians 6. Everybody should know Ephesians 6. You go there every single morning. If you don't know Ephesians 6, you're in trouble. Oh, yeah. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want to say it again. Hold on. Say it again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In the power of whose might?
His might.
His might. What does it say? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to, stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, to stand against the trickery of the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's his job. And he does it well. He's anointed for it, believe it or not. Because he carries an anointing also. He came from light, and his rebellion caused him to serve darkness. But he has power. It says in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So please understand that your fight is not physical. It is spiritual, isn't it? So there is a fight, isn't there? And actually, there is a fight for life. There's a fight for life going on right now. Big time. And it's one of the things that the Spirit wants to bring to us tonight. A word of encouragement and an understanding of this fight that continues. It is a fight for life. That's what it's about. Your fight and my fight is for life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 11. Let's speak it together. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight. Everyone say fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life, who what? Wait a minute now. I urge you in the sight of God who what? Who gives what? Who gives what? Life. He is the life giver. He doesn't need life. He's the life giver. He is. He doesn't need life. But he gives life. Is everybody with me? I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things. In other words, this word life is a representation of existence. Existence. He gives existence to all things. And before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you what? Keep this command without spot and blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and only potent, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So God is the life giver. He gives physical life and spiritual life. Amen? In other words, life again is associated with existence. He's the one that causes things to exist. And what he does is he brings things into existence so that they might participate with his plan. He brings things into existence so that they might participate with his plan, because he creates man with a free will in hope that they will participate with his plan. And participating with his plan is called grace, because grace is the plan of God to escape the deception of the powers of darkness and the wrath of God. So again, God is a life giver who gives existence, who brings existence to the things of the physical and spiritual. And there's a fight for this life, isn't there? In Romans 4. You know, God says something very powerful in Hosea 4:6, which we don't have to go to. He says, my people are destroyed. That word destroyed means killed, perish, or decay. It's a process sometimes. They are destroyed for lack of knowledge or lack of truth or lack of revelation, because many people don't know how to battle. Many people don't even realize there's a fight going on. They just think there's a struggle going on. Well, that struggle is called a fight. And in that struggle is how your enemy is exposed. But you must begin to look at the struggle. You don't run from it. You're either a fighter or a runner. And you can't outrun the devil. Eventually, you must turn around and fight him, or he will take everything you have. In Romans 4 and 16. Let's speak it out. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who what? Who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they what? In other words, he brings things into existence because he is a life giver. Amen? So as a life giver, again, he brings things to existence. Things that are not. Things that don't even exist. He just speaks them in and they come forth. In verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to what? Perform. So in other words, he stood. Abraham stood no matter what, because he heard God, he believed God, and he didn't waver. You know, in this area of God being the life giver and bringing things to existence, one of the things the enemy's trying to do is remove the things that are in existence. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Again, if we do not know how to battle, if we do not know how to protect, if we do not know how to defend, we lose battles. Now, there's a war going on, and in this war, there are many battles. And there are battles that are lost. But I'm telling you, there's a place where your battle should be victorious every time. Calling on Jesus to rescue is not victory. It's called rescue. Is everybody with me? It's called rescue. Victory is when you defeat, through Christ, the enemy. That's called victory. Because you are taking land. You are taking possession. You are taking something back that the enemy has taken. Is everybody with me? That is called victory. So there are many battles in a war. And they are either victorious, or there's a rescue, or you get damaged. Because there are casualties of war also. And the reason why there's casualties of war is because they're not prepared. They're not steadfast. There's certain things that they're allowing the enemy to open the door into their lives, to come to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen, if there's stealing in your life, if there's killing or destroying in your life, there's open doors in your life. There's something that is, we are disobedient somewhere, because disobedience opens the door. And no matter what you do, no matter how much hard you struggle, no matter what's going on, no matter how much you pray, until that door is shut, the enemy will still have access. See, because when you pray and you cry out to God, what he says is he puts you in a place to learn. Now, if you're taking what you're learning, you're going to have victory. If you don't take what you're learning, and the enemy loves that emotional arena, and he moves people out of position. So in this, we must stay in position, isn't it? I'm going to tell you the number one killer is pride. Pride goes before a fall. Pride is the number one killer. Personal reverence into a deadly end. That's where the enemy convinces us that we're okay. If you think you're okay, you have already fallen. None of us is okay. You've already bit the bait. I'm all right. No problem yet. You know, you can say all day long things are going to work to the good. But they're not going to work to the good unless you're in divine position and you shut the door to the things that you were supposed to. Is everybody okay? Is everybody okay? Yeah. Did you get it? Praise God. Acts chapter 17. God does not reward disobedience. He rewards obedience. Acts 17 and verse 22. The fight for life. Let's speak it together. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." Let me tell you, religion is of the enemy. God did not bring religion. He brought freedom. He brought a kingdom. See, religion is associated with what you do, not what he's done. Has everybody got it? See, we do what we're supposed to do to stay in position so he can. Amen? Religion says, it's what I do. Is, you know, I get a lot of people that boast sometimes. Yeah, man, that's what I prayed. I prayed that. I prayed that. Well, let me tell you, it's God that answered the prayer. And believe me, you weren't the only one praying for that. Is everybody with me? You weren't the only one praying that. You know why? Because it takes two to touch and agree. So he may be having you pray for something, but he's got somebody else praying for it too, the same thing. Or a multitude somewhere. That's why when you pray in the Spirit, you don't know what you're praying. But I'm telling you, he knows what you're praying. He knows what to be prayed. Pride is a killer. In verse, he says, I perceive that you are in all things very religious. See, this is where people get to the place where it's what they've done, not what he's done. So they do the rituals so that they believe what they've done. But everything is associated with what he's done, not what we've done. Amen? That's all we're doing is cooperating so he can move. In verse 23, for as I was passing through and considering the objects, the what? Objects of your worship. So they were worshiping objects, weren't they? I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he what? Gives to all life, breath, and all things. In other words, he provides. He provides. Has everybody got this? He provides for those he has brought into existence. He provides for the things he brings into existence. He provides. Amen? Amen? In verse 26, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live, move, and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. In other words, God gives life, and when he gives life, when he brings things to existence, he provides the necessary provision to maintain that to all things. So in this provision, it is to maintain the existence of something. In other words, God called us forth. He provides one way or another. The problem that occurs when there's an area where there's not cooperating from the of the Lord, the enemy has access to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why there are nations that are starving, because the enemy has access to steal. That's why there are things that are failing, because the enemy has access to steal. And in this, now it becomes a fight, isn't it? It is a fight for life. It's a fight for the things that are in existence and the things to fight to maintain that existence, to fight for those provisions so that we can get in line so the provisions can be released. In John 6, John chapter 6, the fight for life, physical and spiritual. In verse 62, let's speak it together. What then if you should see the Son of Man descend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would what? Betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Wow. Why? Because the enemy had accessed them, didn't he? Because they chose not to believe. They chose not to follow. They chose. But that choice came from somewhere. They have a free choice, but that influence of the unseen realm or the voice of the stranger caused them. One of the things that established, what began to happen is fear. Fear began to come. Fear. Fear disqualifies the fear of God. Fear. Fear will move people out of position every time. We must fight to overcome fear in every area. That's what the enemy uses. His greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. Fear of lack. Fear of failure. There are sometimes people who are afraid of success. Fear. Someone who is not free is bound by fear. People who were on drugs and alcohol, and they're no longer drinking or anything like that anymore, but they must maintain busyness so they don't go back out and use. That's called fear. So they're still bound by the spirit of fear. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. So where there's fear there, it negates or nullifies power, love, and sound mind. And people begin to make wrong decisions, don't they? Job 33. In verse 1, Job 33, verse 1. Let's speak it. But please, Job, hear my speech and listen to all my words. Now I open my mouth, my tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from my upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So he acknowledges existence was from God. Amen? But he was speaking it. The Spirit of God made me, and the breath gives life. Physical and spiritual. It's physical existence and spiritual existence. So now you and I that are born again have a spiritual existence in a physical realm. The fight for both is to maintain both until God takes, now listen to this. So our fight is to maintain not only a physical life, but the spiritual life. So in this, it is to maintain life until God takes our spiritual life home. Amen? He's going to take our spiritual life home. Or Satan takes the physical life out before the spiritual life is obtained. So understand this. In this realm that we're in right now, there are many people who don't believe. Amen? There's unbelievers. So the enemy's trying to take them out, isn't he? He's trying to take them out before they can get spiritual life. So there is a fight for life. And in this fight for life, there's a fight for the unborn. There's a fight for the unborn. Those women who are pregnant where the enemy is trying to cause abortion. There's a fight for the unborn. And we are to be a voice for those who have no voice. Amen? There's a fight for those who are born in the flesh. And we are to be the voice that brings the eternal voice. And there's a voice for those who are born again. And that is to maintain the voice of life. Because we carry that voice. We must know this voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. That's why we've been talking about converting the soul, which removes the voices so there's one. So that you know this voice. Not saying that you won't hear others, or but you won't be moved by others. Amen. Again, we are fighting for life. It is the life of the unborn, the life of the born, and the life of the born again. Is the life for the what? Unborn, the born, and the born again. We are fighting for that life. The unborn, which has no voice, which has we are the voice for them. The born of the flesh, which we bring the voice of life. The born of the flesh, yes. And those who are born again to maintain the voice of life. In Matthew 3, the fight for life. Matthew 3, in verse 1. Start at verse 1, let's speak it together. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight." In other words, we are now the voice for the unborn, the born, and the born again. Go to Psalm 16. And our voice is associated to fight for life. It is the fight for life. And what is life? Things that God brought into existence. Psalm 16, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. "Preserve me, O God, for in you I what? I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after other gods. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell." And in this, leaving my soul in hell, meaning leave my soul without conversion. You won't allow me this to live this way without converting my soul. And the law of conversion is deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow him. "Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the what? The path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Verse 19. Let's speak it together. "But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog." Dog is representation of demonized individuals. These are demonized people. They're called dogs. So when somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, dog," rebuke them. Tell them you're not a demonized person. But what was he crying out for? He says, "My precious life from the power of the dog." Demonized individual. He was saying, "Listen, they're coming at me with a sword. But I'm asking you to preserve this life so I can exalt you. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen." Look, there's that area where fighting for life, There is a fight for life. That's why things are changing right now. People are being more concerned about health. Because, see, the enemy will wipe you out if he can. If he can't kill you with sin, he'll kill you with what you eat. There is more concern now of things. People are beginning to quit smoking. People are beginning to remove away from certain things because they're concerned about losing their life in the area, especially a believer, because we want to run the full course. You know, we want to run, and the enemy will try to kill you any way he can. He wants to stop you from running the full course so that you can't be a voice to for the unborn, the born of the flesh, and the born again. Amen? I go to Psalm 23. In verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will what? Dwell in the house." He's talking tabernacle. "And I will dwell in the tabernacle, the house of the Lord forever." I will dwell in the tabernacle. Why? That's the secret place of the Most High, by abiding in that. The house of the Lord is the tabernacle. And in this tabernacle is where everything is provided. Protection, provision, and future. In Psalm 34 and verse 11. "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Now, the fear of the Lord is reverence, honor, and respect. Reverence, honor, and respect. "Who is a man who desires life, who loves many days that he may see good?" What does he say? Keep your what? Your tongue. Why? Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it." Pursue it. Is disobedience evil? Amen. The Bible says it's witchcraft. It's associated with rebellion. Amen. So we either keep our tongue from evil and depart from evil. We must be careful of these things. In Ezekiel chapter 3. The fight for life. We are the voice for the unborn, the born of the flesh, and the born again. We must maintain that arena and that position. In Ezekiel 3, is everybody there? In verse 17. "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them" what? Warning. Is he speaking this? Yes, he's giving a warning from me, he says. "When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life," in other words, to save his existence, "that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require of you." Why? Because you didn't warn him. You know, there's sin that is unto death and sin that's not unto death. And the Bible tells us if it's sin not unto death, pray. If it's sin unto death, go to the person. Amen? So what he was saying, look at, he's talking about a man who's a wicked man he hasn't done any righteousness. So is he on his way to death? Yeah, he's on his way to hell. He said, "Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." That's an unborn person. That's someone who's born of the flesh, not a born-again person. Is everybody with me? And verse 20. "Again, when a righteous man," now a righteous man is known as a born-again person. "When a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity," that means he breaks covenant, "and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin. and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. So when a person breaks covenant with God, all of his treasures are removed. But thank God he gets to start over again. Everything that he has lived for and stored up in heaven is removed. But his blood I will require at your hand. In verse 21. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you have delivered your soul. So we are also watchmen. We are a voice for the unborn that have no voice, for those who are born of the flesh, which are called the wicked, and those who are born again, who are called the righteous. Amen? In Malachi chapter 2. The fight for life. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 1. You know, the first office that we fulfill is called priesthood. That's the first office that we fulfill. I said office, not chamber. The first office that we fulfill is called priesthood, and a priest is one who ministers to the Lord. You can't be a pastor, evangelist, a teacher, or anything else until you have fulfilled priesthood and maintained it, or else you've put yourself in there. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 1, and now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. In other words, what God has given you, he will curse. Yes, I have cursed them already because you did not take it to heart. In other words, you were nonchalant about something, not serious about it. Amen? Everybody got it? You didn't take it to heart. You didn't take that warning to heart. Oh, God knows, you know, whatever. It's okay. You know, what? Now the blessings he gave you are now cursed. Is everybody all right? Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuge on your faces to the refuge of your solemn feasts and refuse your solemn feasts. And one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. Remember, we are priests, and fulfilling priesthood, there's responsibility, accountability. And in this, we can't take things nonchalantly when God brings warning. We must take them seriously. And if you wait too long to make that adjustment, he will curse your blessings. Is everybody all right? Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. In 6:24, says, no one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not what? Worry. Is worry fear? Yeah. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. See, if we'll fight for the life of Christ, in other words, we are fighting for life to maintain the life of Christ. Has everybody got it? But if we're fighting for our life to maintain the things that God has blessed us with, they will become a curse. Because you're now fighting for the wrong reason. We are fighting to maintain the life in the physical. When somebody gets sick, we go and pray for them, don't we? We pray for a person's healing. Believe me, there's times when I won't go pray for someone because the Lord is telling me I'm taking them home. time for them to go home. And sometimes the reason why God is taking someone home is because they're not fulfilling anymore. They're no longer fulfilling the purpose. And before they fall, he'll take them home. Is everybody okay? Does everybody understand this? There are times, listen, God's promises. Understand this. Remember, when David broke covenant with the Lord did not restore everything. In fact, David's greatest desire was to build the house of God, wasn't it? And the Lord said, no, I will not restore that. I won't allow you to do that. Because you shed innocent blood. So there are certain things that God will not restore when a person has broken covenant. He just won't restore it. You can ask him that when you get home. And there are certain things he will restore. But see, what we want to do is be able to fight for life for the right purpose and the right reason and the right motive. In other words, I'm not fighting for my life to be a father. I'm not fighting for my life to be a husband. I'm fighting for my life so that his life can be expressed here. I no longer fight for my life. The only life I fight for and the purpose I fight in this realm is to maintain the life of Christ so that his life can be a voice to rescue. Does everybody understand? That's called the fight for life. See, if you have the wrong motive of fight, the enemy has access to you. So we're not to worry about the things of this life, are we? Amen? Listen, I go work out and exercise. I like to play tennis and stay healthy. And the purpose of that is because I want to maintain good health so I could run the full course. That's my purpose. So that the life of Christ can be expressed. So that the voice of Christ could stand for an unborn who's not born. Who could bring life, the voice of life, to one who's not born again. Or who could guide and teach one who is born again. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Mark 8. A fight for life. In verse 34, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. To save his life. His life. The life of the old man. But whoever loses his life for my sake, and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's speak it out. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So we see here that we are now living the life of Christ. We're allowing the self to be denied. We're not concerned. We're pressed. We're persecuted, accused, forsaken, rejected, all of these things by the world, by man. But it doesn't matter. You're not fighting for that life anymore. You're fighting so you can maintain the life of Christ in this realm. The existence of Christ in you in this realm. So everybody got it? In Philippians 1. That's why we are the body of Christ. So if the enemy can wipe out the whole body of Christ, hello, but he can't. Because it's the body of Christ that restrains the enemy. But once the body of Christ is removed, all hell is going to break out on earth. So we must quit wasting time. We must quit wasting time and fight for the right cause instead of the wrong. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Let's speak it together. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. For if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and in that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll close here. The fight for life. You know, I have seen some people who do not fight for life. And I've seen them just, I've been at places where people just eat anything. And they've been doing it for years. And they're unhealthy. But I'm telling you, they knew how to move into gifts of the Spirit. But I was grieved in my spirit. And I was like, you know, Lord, I don't get this. These people are so spiritual, yet they're eating garbage all the time. Do you know that they died within two years after? And they were not old. And I didn't understand that. I'm thinking, how can somebody be so spiritual, yet not realize that they still have to maintain this physical body in this realm? And do the things that they do for God. But not to maintain their own temple. You know, doesn't the Lord say, if you destroy your temple, I'll destroy you? Amen? Again, we are fighting for life so that His life can be expressed in every area. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, oh, hallelujah. In verse 24. Let's speak it together. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And if anyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. In other words, they're fighting for a life for the wrong reason, to bring glory to self. But we, for a what? Imperishable crown. We fight for Christ. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air. In other words, he's fighting for the right cause with the right motive. Not one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Wow. We are the body of Christ. We are the voice of God. The voice of the unborn, born of the flesh, and the born again. The voice that heals, the voice that delivers, the voice that exposes, the voice that destroys the enemy, the voice that fights for what's right, the voice that defends those who can't defend others or defend themselves. We are a voice right now. And it's important that we quit wasting time and put things into perspective and divine order, and fight for the life according to His will and His purpose. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank You for Your word. Let the seed grow and bear fruit and be protected by the blood of Christ. Jesus, You said, call me and You would answer us and show us great and mighty things. So we ask, Lord, as we call on Your name, show us those things that are a waste of time, that we may fight for the life that You've not only given us, but those You've given us in every area. Lord, and continue to pour out Your Spirit and empower us that we may have the strength to say yes to You and no to temptation and the voice of death, that Christ would be glorified through us and others would see Your presence, Your glory, and Your love. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory.